You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
You know we won't, because He trusts us, and we trust Him, and He's a beautiful friend. And they're right now getting refreshed, aren't they? I can't think of a better place than Alaska to get refreshed. And in Hawaii, isn't that beautiful? And then we have some of our dearest friends in the ministry and just friends for life, I believe, and that's Reverend Michael and Reverend Christina Lusk, and their daughter and their son is in the children's church. And your mom came. Stand up, you guys. Praise God. Give them a good God bless them. These are the guys. Single-handedly, these two, standing, Michael and Christina, these two single-handedly, when I first met them, my hair was as black as Kathy's. They did this. They've got a wonderful world ministry, and I know you know that, and they're here connected, and they're a part. And what I love about them, and I think any church that had a couple dozen, and this is a good church because you're all the same way too, of people that are faithful to put their hands with whatever their hand finds to do, they do it with faithfulness. And I tell you, faithfulness is such a great commodity in the day we're living in, I believe, don't you? Faithfulness in marriage, faithfulness in our jobs, occupation, faithfulness in our life, faithfulness in our church. It's really, really important. So anyway, love you guys. Good to see you. Amen. All right. Wow, I tell you, now the last time I was here, I believe that we spoke about, are you ready to go? You ready to get in the Word? Okay. Before we do, let me just share a couple things with you. I brought a book, but I didn't bring any books with me, but I brought some CDs, 5 CD sets. Now, let me tell you why I brought these 5. These 5 are so important for your life. They'll change your life. Together, they'll do exactly what the vision is, empowering people. They'll empower you. I love this vision. Empowering people with the good news of Jesus Christ, and I love this. And it just comes out of the heart of this church, so they can change their world. I think that's really important. I think we have, even in life today and even in our culture today, we've got this idea that someone else, it's up to them to change my world. And that's never biblical, because Bible is always, you got the goods, here they are, now do something with them and change your world. It's up to you. Every one of us have personal responsibility. So all these CD series will help you, empower you to change your world. Amen? Now, one of them is discovering the who in you. This is really important, because a lot of times, and this is not Dr. Seuss, this is Dr. Carl, by the way. Discovering the who in you really goes down to this. It's discovering means to discover, means is to take the cover off, to find out the real thing that's underneath. And a lot of times we've been covered up with the mud of life, with the issues of life, with guilt, with shame, with other people's expectations. We put all this stuff on us, and it covers us up. And no one can really see who's the real person behind all this junk that we see coming out of their life. God never built you or I to have junk just reeking out of our life. You know what I realized? God showed me this morning. He said, make sure you remind the people. And I'm just reminded to remind you that this morning I'm standing among great titans of the world. And I don't say that because of what your last name is. I don't say that because of what your financial status looks like. I say that because if you're a Christian, it's more than just forgiven. You're a new creation. You are part of something, a supernatural race of beings that's never been before. Not even Adam and Eve can declare that. Adam and Eve, they were the first Adam, they were the first man created in God's image. But after the fall, they went back a little bit. But what God has created through Jesus Christ in the new birth, it's something totally powerful that Adam and Eve never, never was. We're part of a super race, and that's who I'm among today. If you're a Christian today, then I'm among that race of titans, of supernatural super beings. Never a part of this race before. Isn't that powerful? Man, I'm preaching already. But that's what's in here, and you need to find out who would say, I need to discover the who in me. Anybody say, yeah, I need that. Can I give that to you? And happy anniversary.
Thank you.
That's today.
No, the 16th.
The 16th in how many years?
43 years.
Oh, come on now. You get up here and teach us on marriage. Come on. You know, you probably have the same thing that Kathy and I have, you know, and you probably heard a lot of good marriages go this way. We never talk divorce.
That's right.
We talk murder once in a while, but we never talk divorce. We don't talk murder either. Wow. Praise the Lord. Anyway, and here, let me give this to you too. There's some free newsletters back there. Holy Spirit, my BFF. Now this is the other side of the coin. Not only do you have greatness on the inside of you, and we're discovering that day by day by day by getting all this stuff off and finding out who we are really in Christ. That's really what it's all about, the Christian life. Finding out who you are in Christ. The other side of this is, I'm going to say this right now. Write this down. You are very crowded inside yourself. You're very crowded because not only do you have a brand new spirit created in God's image, you've got Jesus in there and you got the Holy Spirit in there. It's really crowded in there, and there's some real great activity going on the inside of you. This here, the Holy Spirit, my BFF, my best friend forever, he said, listen, I'm going to send you another comforter. Jesus said that. That Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's never going to leave you. He's going to direct you. He's going to guide you. He's going to tell you where to walk, where to talk, how to talk. He's even going to bring some talk with him. That's called tongues. We call it tongues today. But he's bringing a brand new spirit language. And as your spirit connects with the Holy Spirit and you pray that spirit language, your life is changed. You're at the right time. It's like Dr. John. I was at the right time in the right place. How do you remember that? Come on, you have to be over 50 to remember that. Praise God. But good stuff there. Holy Spirit, say. How many say, I need the Holy Spirit? My best friend forever. Amen. Here, can you bless you with that too? All right. The rest of you got some good deals back there. I want to share that with you because I think it's really, really important. Because, see, I want to go home with you today, every one of you. I want to go home with you today. Kathy says, no, you're going home with me, baby. Woo! So, second best, you can take me home on those CDs. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to ask you a question, and we're going to pray. And I'm going to ask you a question. Father, thank you so much for what's taken place already. We thank you that, as our sister Amanda said, the anointing is already here. When we walked in, the anointing walked in. When we sat down, the anointing sat down. When we stood up, the anointing stood up. Because you've anointed us. We are in Christ. We have the anointing and the anointed one on the inside of us. So what we do is anointed. What we say is anointed. How we pray, it's anointed. Thank you, Lord. Let your anointing continue. And let people rise up in this place today, go out of here today, realizing their full potential in Christ. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I remember I started on this vein here and I didn't finish it. But the last time I was here with you, if you remember, I spoke about the human, what the human is. It's spirit in a dirt body. Do you remember that? How powerful is this that God said, I'm going to take spirit and breathe it, and that's what he did in Genesis. I'm going to take spirit, breathe it into a dirt body that I form for you, and you'll become a living soul. And this is powerful because God says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he goes on to say, and let them have dominion. I want to continue a little bit on that today. I'm not going to teach what I taught last time. I'm going to just go to the next point, if you would, on that. But I want to back up and go through this because I think it's so important. When he said, let them have dominion, he didn't say, let us have dominion. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, but let them have dominion. God was taking his hands off and said, I'm going to give you the full dominion over the earth. And he's never taken that back. And it's up to you and I. That's why we can praise God for the finished work. What Jesus did in the finished work of Christ makes it now possible that everything that needs to have dominion over, we can have dominion over. We actually have dominion over it. Are you taking the dominion you were given by God? Amen? That's powerful. So I want to go another step with that because who is this brand new creation that we are in Christ? It's powerful. I wake up every day thinking, you know, I if I... have problems. Really, problems are symptoms of something going on in the inside of me, and that can be changed on the inside. To get a change on the outside, you have to change something on the inside. It's amazing to me. My question for you today is this. Write this down. What is my mental net worth? I think that's important. See, if you're into financial planning, and we all should be, but in the financial world, there's something as known as your financial net worth, and what they do there is they take all your assets. A financial planner take your assets and take your liabilities, and they'll put them together and find out if you have a positive net worth, which means your assets outweigh or are more than your liabilities, correct? How many's with me? Raise your hand if you, yeah. And if your liabilities are more than your assets, then you have a negative net worth. That's what works in the financial arena. You know, I ask these kind of questions. Anybody ever ask God questions? I ask questions like this. Lord, we've got so much word. You sent your word. It healed us, delivered us. I mean, we've got, God, who we are. I mean, it's amazing. How come people have so many struggles yet as believers? They testify that Jesus is Lord, but with the next moment, they're reaming somebody out with anger. They're screaming. They're in unbelief. They're emotional. Their emotional stuff is just going berserk. Not you, the other church. I mean, even myself, you know, or you get into this thing, you're fearful about saying the right thing or fearful about what's going to happen in the future. Come on, God's got our future. He's got our back. He's got our front. He's got our sides. He's got our insides, our outsides. And I'm thinking, God, this doesn't line up. And he says, okay, well, look at it. It's your mental net worth. Obviously, we have mental assets that you're thinking positive, you're thinking the word. This is where your word, where the word has renewed your mind. And you have liabilities, some of this thinking that hasn't been renewed yet, some of this thinking that hasn't been changed yet. And so you're still operating out of some liabilities. And what we need to do is we need to look today. That's why I say, what is your mental net worth? You and I need to be very sobering or take a sober look individually. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But I can certainly do it for me. Side thought here. We're going to get back to that. But sidebar, if we would. You know, have you ever seen somebody just get so emotional that you're like, what is going on? The Lord showed me the other day about that. He said, emotions are great. And they are. We're supposed to have emotions. But he says, what emotions will do, we're talking about, you know, what's your mental net worth. Emotions help us define where our mind is. God told me, he said, son, I gave people emotions. Not just women once a month, but men, women all the time. Your emotions pinpoint what you're thinking. And does it need to be changed? Or is it good? It's like emotions are like a signpost. Like, see, when I get excited, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I get excited every morning. I get up and I just get up with excitement. And I, the first thing I do is I make coffee. And then I go and run and I jump on the bed. I say, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. And then Kathy rolls over and says, what are you doing? No. You'll say, really, you're emotional like that? Yeah, I'm excited about God because my thinking has been changed to realize I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things become new. And the more I meditate and think about that, my emotions are a signpost to my thinking, and so are yours. People say, are you kidding me? You mean you never wake up grumpy? I say, no, I let her sleep. She wakes up when she wants. How many times have I said that? About 100 since Noah had the ark, right? Amen. She knows I'm teasing there. She's the blessing in my heart. You getting something out of this? I want to give you a verse of scripture because I want you to see that we're biblical here. But let me say this. We're a word church here, and you know what I'm saying is true. You know verses like Romans 12:2 that says, do not be conformed any longer, right? to this culture, but be transformed. How? The renewing of your mind. It didn't say by the excitement of your emotions. Motions always follow what you're thinking. And it can be subconscious thinking, which is really, the Bible talks about your subconscious, the spirit of your mind. It says you need to put on the new man so you can deal with the spirit of your mind, that subconscious thinking that really it doesn't even, you have conscious thinking that you're right out there front at any moment. You're reading, you're thinking, or you're listening, and you're talking, and you're thinking there. But that subconscious is the strongholds that you build in your life that rule your life, that help you make every decision. Every emotion comes from that. And he says, if you don't change that stronghold and make a new stronghold that's based on the word and who you are in Christ, then you'll operate out of that one and you won't even think about it. You'll just do it. Your thinking short term doesn't determine long term what you do. Because long term is your subconscious. And he said, that's the spirit of your mind that has to be changed there deep down. Let me read a verse to you. Can we read a verse? Yeah, Matthew 12:35. Are you getting something out of this? If you are, raise your hand and say, I want 30 more minutes at least. Come on, hold your hand up. Okay, 30, 60 an hour. There's two others. Seminar, woohoo, 20 hours. Okay, Matthew 12:35 says this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Matthew 12:35. I'll give you a minute there. I love this. This is Jesus talking. Say, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. He's speaking. He says, and this is a principle. He says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Let me say it like this. Your treasure is your thoughts, your beliefs, and your assumptions that you hold true, your thinking, your belief system, the assumptions you hold true. And your treasure is what we live on every day. That's what you live on every day, your treasure. So really, if he says a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man brings out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things, what's the key? The key is change the treasure. Change the outward. Isn't that powerful? How simple can he make it? Jesus, thank you for making things simple. Aren't you glad that Jesus always makes things simple? Because if he doesn't, you'd probably get it, but I'd be messed up if he made it complicated. But I can see this. Listen, and here's the thing we do sometimes, not you, but I'm sure others have, and I did until I discovered this truth, that a lot of times I might see something, and I would do this in my young Christian walk. I would see something in my life I don't like, and I'm out here on the outside trying to work on the symptoms. I'm trying to change my symptoms. Well, if I just get into this habit, I'm just going to try and make a better habit. I'm just going to try and not do that. I'm going to not do that for an hour. I'm not going to, you know, and there's some good to willpower. But it doesn't last, because when pressure comes or key triggers happen, you revert back to the treasure in your heart, that foundation, that stronghold that you're living from. Do you get that? And so we see people doing that all the time. Well, I got to get in this program, and I got to get some mental help. I got to get do this, and we're trying to work on the symptoms out here. And Jesus said it's so much easier than that. If you work on the treasure, the output will be different. That's powerful. The key to life is working on the treasure in your heart, changing it up, dealing with the negative strongholds, and building brand new spiritual positive strongholds based on the word. Are you with me? And that's what the Bible says we're to do. That's how it changes. Let's go to Romans. How many's getting something out of this again? Still. All right. God's good. Tell the person next to you, say, those people behind us needed to hear this. Thank God they're here. I'm going to give you another verse here in Ephesians 4. I never ask what time I... Okay. You're out of here by, I think you said, 2 o'clock? We're good. In Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24, it says this. It says, I'll give you a minute to turn there. Ephesians 4, verse 23 and 24. Do I need to stay in the light? Yes, stay in the light. Young Luke, stay in the light. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I don't know where that came from. I don't even watch Star Wars that much. That was way bad. That's a stronghold back there. We got to root that out. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Not just your mind here, but now in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind. That thing that causes you to do what you do. Have you ever seen yourself or others do something that seems so irrational? Like, that's not even you. Or you ever did something and you say, man, that's not even me. Where'd that come from? That's deep in there. That's that subconscious. That's that stronghold that you don't even, it's not even reasonable. But you do it. I had a couple examples, but I want to read this verse. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Why? So that you put on, I love this, the new man. It's the New King James. So you put on the new man. Doesn't say so you become a new man. You already are a new man. You put on a new man. Now, when I put on clothes or you put on clothes, where do you put them on? Do you put them on the inside? Come on, somebody. You put them on the outside, right? So he's saying, just like clothes, that you put on what? The new man, what you are. In other words, he's saying it like this. When you really begin to dig down and start changing the attitudes in your belief system and your thinking to such a degree, you're going to actually put on the outside, or we'll see on the outside, oh, come on, what you really are on the inside. Oh, that's powerful. That's transforming. That's transformation. Are you with me? How many love the scriptures? This is a word church, and I'm so glad. Do you know how many churches that, you know, they say they're Christian churches, and I'm sure they're Christian, they're born again, but you know, they don't have a depth of the word, and they're getting saved every week. Instead of realizing, no, once saved, I'm saved now, if you're saved now. Now the job is getting the transformed life, showing on the outside, who you really are on the inside. Isn't that right, Senator? Come on, praise God. Even some senators are smart. Not all of them. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So what? So that you put on the new man. So you put it on like clothes, which you really are on the inside. What? Which was created according to God. Not our idea, but God's idea. And God's idea is created in what? True righteousness and holiness. Now, let me tell you something right now. If you're a born-again Christian, you're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're as holy on the inside as you're ever going to be. The problem is we're showing issues and things and symptoms and stuff on the outside that hasn't been changed yet on the inside, and so we're acting like the old person. Can I tell you that the next time you blow it and sin, what we need to start saying is not only, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me, that's good, but say, Lord, you know and I know that's not really me. That's a symptom of that old guy that's dead, and I don't know why I picked him up and wanted to run around with that, because he's dead, and I'm alive, and I'm righteous, and I'm holy, and I'm spirit, and I'm wall-to-wall God on the inside, and I have no business acting like that, because that's not the real me. Come on, praise God. Do you realize that everything that Jesus did at the cross, that's why he said, when it was done, it was done, it was finished, he said, it is finished. We call it the finished work. It's because all the holiness, all the love, all the grace, all the faith, all the healing, all the deliverance, all the prosperity, all the financial, everything that you need, everything has been given to us through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. Am I shouting too much?
No.
Okay. This is powerful. The work that God has done, it's finished. You know, when you finish a project, listen, when I finish a project, I was funny the other day, we were at our place in Florida and we were doing some cleaning, and Kay said, you need to vacuum the floors. Yes, ma'am. And so I'm there. I got my little apron. I'm sweeping the floors, and I get through a couple bedrooms, and I'm just all of a sudden, I don't know, it was just a long day. Well, I had golfed that day and, you know, done some other things that are godly, you know. Listen, first two letters of golf, first two letters are God, G-O. Come on, somebody. Whew, the anointing, I'm smelling it right now. And so I tell Kathy, I said, she said, are you finished? I said, yeah, we'll put the sweeper away. Yeah, okay, but I'm tired. I'm just tired. I said, you're tired? You didn't do anything. But I sat down. And what sitting down meant, I'm finished. Now you think, what does that have to do with God? The Bible tells me when he finished the work, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because the job, the finished work, to make you everything that you can be, should be, the potential's in there, you are in Christ, it's finished. You know, sometimes our praying and sometimes the way we operate with God is God, please, God, will you please do this? And his answer has to be no. Wait a minute. I'm a faith person. We walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, but you got faith messed up. You think faith is getting God to do something. Oh, thank you. Wow. Like I said, the pastor can come back and clean up all the mess. But to me, faith is not, oh God, my faith is God, please move. God's not moving. Why? Because he already moved 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ. My faith isn't to try to get God to do something. My faith is appropriating what he has already done. When I walk by faith, not by sight, that means I believe, Father, I thank you for healing. And as we pray today, Father, we thank you that they're the healed of the Lord. We receive healing for them. We agree with them for healing in their bodies because you've already made healing available for us 2,000 years ago. How many's getting something out of this? Raise your hand, give them a high five. Say, 30 more minutes, please. You doing okay with this? Okay, Romans 12:2. I love teaching in this church and preaching in this church because you people, you're word addicts, you're word people. And that's good. You can tell, you're getting it. You're gonna jump up in the middle of the night, as they said, I've taken this from other preachers. You're gonna jump up in the middle of the night and go, woo, thank you, Jesus, because you're gonna just get it like, yeah. Then you're gonna start jumping on the bed in the morning. We really don't jump in the bed because we have too many grandkids, and if we did, we got that song, five little monkeys jumping on the bed. One fell off and broke his head. Mama's what? Bumped his head, that's right. Mama called the doctor, and the doctor said, and my grandkids love it when I say it like this, no more jumping on the bed. Anyway. Praise God. Romans 12:2. You're blessed? Look at the person next to you and say, I am so blessed, and I'm highly favored because I'm his, and he's mine. Praise God. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed then to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The transformation comes. The putting on of the new man comes. The putting on the outside, who we really are on the inside, comes by one thing, renewing our mind. What does that mean? That means changing our thinking according to the word, getting this new information, putting it in, meditating on it, reading it. Actually, the Bible says one place that the transformation comes. Let me give you a verse here. I've got it here, I believe. Yeah, look at 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18. I love this. It says, but we all, with unveiled face. Now, Paul's talking here in 2 Corinthians, and he's reminding them about in the old covenant, And Reverend Michael Lusk talked a little bit about this, the new covenant we're living in today. It's a whole new covenant based on better promises that are now kept. Why? Because it's not based on God and man. It's based on God and God, Jesus. Isn't that powerful? The new covenant cannot be broken. Why? The new covenant is not failure prone. Why? The old covenant was based on a relationship between God and man has a tendency to fail. So God says, hey, the old covenant is not what we need. We need a new covenant, but I'm going to base it on my relationship with my son, Jesus. Wow. And you know what? When we get born again, we just sneak right in there in Jesus. That's why Paul could say stuff like this in Galatians, that the life I live by faith of the Son of God. If you search that out in Galatians 2:20, some translations say the faith in the Son of God, but it's really, the correct is of, and you'll notice some translations say of. The walk I walk now, the life I live now, I live by faith of the Son of God, his faith. Praise God. It's his grace, his faith, his healing, his deliverance. It's all him. That's why we can say things like this, Jesus, and write this down, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's all about him. That's what always brings me back to humility, because, you know, this new creation, I'm like, wow, God, what you've done in this, what you made us. And you can stand with your head up, you can say, wow, praise God. We're among titans today, because those that are unbelievers, we don't hate anybody, but we're in a different race of people, a super race. Those that are super natural and living it, that's powerful. That make us better, it makes us just right. And it makes us be able to live. I'm just going all over the place. What are you sucking out of me? But see, this is the thing with the old covenant and new covenant. The old covenant, it's good. You know, I hear people slamming the law. Well, we're not under the law. We don't need the law. Well, you're not under the law. I mean, there is some laws we're under, but when you're talking about the Mosaic law, you're right. We're not under the Mosaic law. But it's not because the law was bad. The law was good. The law was so good, it showed us, here is God. Here's perfection. Can you do all this? Oh, yeah, we can do that. Well, no, you can't. Because if you're missing just one little bit, then you're a transgressor against all of it. The old covenant law was not bad. It just never gave us power to live it. It just was the power to condemn us, because when it looked at us, or we looked at it, they're like, oh, there's no way I can do that. Unless God grades on a curve, there ain't no way I'm getting in. Come on, don't you wish God would grade on a curve? But he doesn't. I mean, how many want to be the best sinner you can be? See, it doesn't get you in. And God said, no. The law is good in that it shows us, represents God, and shows us how we should be, but you can't do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send a Savior for you. I'm going to take another spirit. I'm going to give him an earthly body. It's going to be a spirit in a dirt body. That a virgin is going to give me the dirt body. I'm going to put the spirit of Christ in it, in the body Jesus. And he's going to walk this earth, and he's going to live every bit of the law. Then he's going to die for our sins. And then when we accept him, it's just like we lived every bit of the law, but really he did. And that's where mercy and humility come in. He did it. But man, we get to walk in it. We get to walk in his victory. Lift your hands to heaven and begin to just praise him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. Can you give me 10 more minutes? I really don't know, to be honest with you. I should have looked, and that's proper etiquette, is to look where I am when I started, but I didn't. So are we good for another 10 minutes? I'm telling you, I believe God is saying something to us here. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face. I was saying all that just for this verse here. He's talking to him about the old covenant. Beholding as in a mirror. Now see, our face is unveiled. And you ever notice when he's talking about this, he's talking about when Moses came down with the Ten Commandments down the mountain. Remember, he covered his face? And, you know, sometimes we get the idea, well, why did he cover his face? Well, he covered his face because it shone so bright it would scare the people. No, if you read that in there, go back and do your homework. I'm not going to read it right now. But it says he covered his face because the glory was fading. as soon as he came out of the presence of God, it began to fade. The farther away he gets from God, the more the glory on his face fades. And he doesn't want to show, I mean, he wants, I'm thinking if it was staying like that, he would have kept it on cover to say, look at this. But it was fading. A shadow for us to know that the old covenant faded, but the new covenant, now, this is a new covenant. He says, but we all, with unveiled face, no veil on our face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image. Oh, wow. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. He's saying, and really the mirror, James tells us the mirror is the Word. When you're looking in the mirror of the Word, and why? What a great idea to use a mirror for this, because when you look in a mirror, how many looked in a mirror this morning? And how many liked what you saw? Come on, raise your hand. Well, you should. You look in there and you say, you're looking good there, sister or brother, whatever you are. That's right. But they use the idea of a mirror because when you look in a mirror, you're seeing you or a reflection of you. Right? So he says, when you look in the mirror or look in the Word, you should look in the Word. Don't, you know, some Christians don't do this. Don't ever do this again. They look in the Word and they feel condemned over it. Don't do that anymore. When you look in the Word, you should look in there and say, there I am. You're good looking. Man, your spirit looks brand new. Wow, you look healed every day of your life. Wow, you sure look prosperous. Whoa, look at you. Look at you. Look at it. It says, by his stripes you were healed. Look at you healed, angel you. Right? He says, and what happens when you're looking in the Word and you're looking in and seeing what's happening? You're being transformed into that. You're being transformed. Oh, that means I'm not a Christian. No, you're a Christian. Remember, transformed. Now, very quickly, we read two verses already transformed in it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Romans 12:2, don't be conformed, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Okay. There's actually four. Write this down. There's four places in the New Covenant. The Word that's translated in from the Greek. The Word is translated either transformed or transfigured. But it's the same Word. Two spots in the Gospel. Remember, Jesus went up with his three buddies. And I'm going to close with this because I want you to see this. This is you. This is you. If you're a Christian today, this is you. Jesus goes up in the mountain with three of his guys, right? And when he gets up there, what happens? He's transformed or transfigured before them. What does it look like? It says that he was so bright, his face shone with brightness that was unreal. And he said his cloak looked like something better than the finest dry cleaners could clean his outfit. Seriously, that's what basically in our language it was saying. He was so bright. But that transfigured and the word transformed means this. Write it down. To show the real you on the outside that you are on the inside. See, when he was transfigured before them, it wasn't just a bright light that hit him. They actually saw the glorified, the holy, the righteous, the justified, holy man, holy spirit of God there before them. They saw on the outside. They saw with their natural eyes. Oh, this is powerful. They saw with their natural eyes who Jesus was on the inside, his spirit. There's no sin in him. And can I say that as he is, so are we in this world. You know, if we could look in the natural with our natural eyes, who you really are, your spirit right now as a born again Christian, you'd be the same way. You'd just be brighter than anything. That's powerful. That's you. That's you now. I'm going to say it again. The greatest revelation I've ever learned was when I became a Christian. I wasn't just forgiven of my sins. Are you kidding me? He forgave my sins before I ever made him Lord. The sins of the whole world are forgiven. But what I did is I tapped in. I received what he did. And he didn't say, I'm going to forgive your sins. He said, no, I'm going to kill you now. When we made Jesus Lord, he killed us. He killed the old man. You ain't got two guys in there. You're not married to one and dating the other. The old man, he killed it and gave you a brand new one, and it looks just like that one that was transfigured up on the mountain. And a couple of cool things about that. Do you remember who he started talking to up there on the mountain? Anybody at all? This is a side thought here. When Jesus was transfigured before him, and they saw him talking with two men. One was Elijah, the prophets. One was Moses, the law, the prophets and the law. So here's the prophets and the law talking with Jesus, and they were like, oh, and so Peter, you know, he's always looking for something to say when it's not necessary to say anything. Matter of fact, one translation says, and so Peter says, let's make three tabernacles to all three of you dudes, okay? Because, and it says, because he didn't know what to say. Shh. Sometimes I think God's like this, where I just, and God wants to go. That's what God did that day. A big cloud comes down. God's going, to Peter. And so then when, and so they're, you know, they're like freaking like, wow, this is, oh man, I'm getting hungry. How about you? No, anyway. And so the cloud raises. Guess what? It says Jesus was there by himself. The law was no longer there. The prophets no longer there. It just pointed to Jesus. I got a verse for that. Wow. Are you blessed? The Bible says Galatians 6:15. I'm reading it amplified, but it says, so now neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is important. In other words, the law or the prophets. The prophets shouted, thus saith the Lord, get right, you uncircumcised Philistines. The law says, ha, do this, do this, do this, do this, and you'll be okay with God. Do good, get good. Do bad, get bad. It says, now that's not even important anymore. What's important now is a new creation. Wow. What Jesus was before them, the law. Am I making light of the law and the prophets? That's how we saw him. They kept crying out saying, one's coming, one's coming, one's coming. And when he comes, he's going to change this thing around. Now it's a whole new deal. It's a new covenant. It's a new creation. It's a new birth. It's all new. And you know what? We're living in it. We're part of that. We're part of that family. We're part of that super race. And it has nothing to do with color. Because when you think about it, color comes down to this, how much pigment we have in our body. Some has more pigment than others. It doesn't matter. You know, there's only one dad and mom in the whole thing. That's Adam and Eve. Not Adam and Steve. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Moving right along. Okay. I had another, okay. Romans 3, verse 21, 22, and I promise I'm going to be done with this. I just want to make sure you're packed full today so we don't eat too much in our bodies afterwards, because you'll be so full, so full. Well, how does that work? Well, remember Jesus. He sent his boys to get bagels and fish. And they came back to the well, and because he was hungry, he waited there. Had an encounter with the gal, got her saved, or, you know, got her, not saved at that point, but, you know, got her on the right direction. And they come back and say, hey, we got the bagels, got some cream cheese, woohoo! He said, you know, I'm not hungry. What? Why? I have food you know not of. Just doing the Father's will pumped him so up, so good, that it even affected his physical hunger to a good way. Talk about diet plan. Give somebody a high five and say, he don't know what I'm talking about. I got chicken waiting. Come on. Romans chapter 3, verse 21, 22 says, but now, look at this. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed. Oh, really? What's that? Jesus. Being witnessed. This righteousness of God, it was witnessed by the law and the prophets. When? On the Mount of Transfiguration. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, there's no difference. Isn't that powerful? Last verse, Luke 16:16. I promise. Luke 16:16. Jesus himself said, the law and the prophets were until John. They were until John. Jesus himself saying there's a reason for the law, a reason for prophets. They were until John the Baptist. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. Everyone is pressing into that. Jesus himself. Wow, isn't that powerful? Who are we? We're a brand new creation in Christ. So in answer to that question today, I said, what is your mental net worth? Here's a great way today to start changing the liabilities into assets by looking into this word, by renewing our mind. The more you renew your mind to who you are already. See, if you're saved, how many are saved today? How many are not saved? You're not a Christian. You've never made Jesus Lord. Anybody at all? Raise your hand. Okay, so hold your hands up, both hands up if you're a Christian. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Say this, I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You know, we just confessed the lyrics of David Engel's song. Remember that? I'm a new creation. You remember that? I'm a brand new man. Sing that with me. Old things are passed away. I've been born again. I've been born again. More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. That's who I am. That's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. Brand new man. I'm a brand new man. You know, I can't today, but I used to be able to tell the ingredients of the Big Mac because remember they made a jingle out of it years ago? And they make jingles of stuff, and boy, every once in a while I'll just pick something up and I'm seeing it, I'm like, what? But because they made it a little jingle, I get it. If I could get you to make this jingle, say over and over, I'm a new creation. Sing it with me. I'm a brand new man. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. Old things are passed away. And if you think you have to live that, it's a scam of the devil. Because it's not you. So the next time you blow it, what are you going to do? You're going to say, Father, yes. Father, thank you. This is what I say. I say, Father, thank you that I'm already forgiven for this. But I just want to recognize this is not me. And thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, God, that you made me a new creation. This is not me. This is not how I'm supposed to act. This is not me living the transformed life of what you made me on the inside. So, Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me. I confess it is sin. You're so big. God, live big in me. Let others see Jesus in me. Transformed. We can say, we're living the transformed life. But if we can't see on the outside who you really are on the inside, you're not living the transformed life yet. You have great potential to live it. Is that okay? That was the only hit I gave you. That was the only time I punched you. Isn't that good? Everybody say, thank you for that punch, Doc. I needed that. But it's true because, you know, it's amazing to me that people that don't even love Jesus, that aren't even a Christian, don't even confess to be a Christian, know how we're supposed to live. But the sad thing is, sometimes they're right. And we can make all the excuses, well, I'm not perfect. Your spirit man is. Sorry to burst your bubble, because I've said that too. Well, don't judge me. I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not judging you, but you are perfect in your spirit, and you could live it on the outside if you allow yourself to be transformed. How do I do that? Go to church, pay my tithe, read my Bible. No, those are good actions. And those good actions don't make you a Christian, but when you're a Christian, you do good actions. But no, the Bible's simple. Start looking in the mirror, the word mirror. See who you are. Start meditating on that, renewing your mind to that. And eventually, more and more, you're going to be putting more and more of the Jesus clothes on the outside, walking around looking just like you are on the inside. That's the transformed life. And you know what? When I leave here, this is what I believe. I believe that we're going to take this challenge and do it. Go to another level. Go to a whole other level. You can do it. Why? Because you are perfect on the inside. You're wall-to-wall spirit on the inside. Your spirit, man, is ready for God, ready for any situation. We just got to get it from in here to out there. Amen.